If you open your Bibles with me to Exodus 12, Exodus chapter 12. While you're doing that, I'll just give you a little update about Yorg in Kyrgyzstan. And he is a member of our body here, and he's, as I think all of you know, most of you know, but if you're new here, he's ministering in Kyrgyzstan, being a kind of a tent maker there, working. And also then sharing the gospel, ministering with an organization up there, teaching some English classes anyway, his dad and mom had a chance to go visit them and brought back a report. And the first thing is he wants to say hello to everyone here. He misses us and thanks us for our support and our prayers. And he really enjoyed that Skype that we did with him a while back. His pastor and church he goes to wants to say hello to us and to me and to you guys and to thank us for sending him to him, sending Yorg to him. And we'll be praying for him. His parents were telling me that very depressed place to live, very ugly, dirty, not much beauty there. And matter of fact, his mom was just telling me this morning that she found it hard and asked Yorg, how can you live, is it hard to live here? Because you like beauty and such. He says, I find beauty in the people. And that's why he's there. Really, to share the gospel to the people there. And so we want to continue to remember him in prayer, pray for him with the English classes he's doing at the university and for his job and then for the rest of the ministry that he has with the Uyghur people out there, with the Muslim people. So keep him in prayer. And so great update. Thank you for doing that. So let's look at this here. We've been going through Exodus 20, looking at the Ten Commandments. There was a Sunday school teacher that was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6 year olds. And after explaining the command to honor thy father and mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches how to treat our brothers and sisters? And without missing one beat, a little boy answered, yes, thou shalt not kill. Right? Now we've been looking at the Ten Commandments here as we've been studying actually the life of Moses, and we got to the Mount Sinai here and he is receiving the Ten Commandments. And so we've been looking at those. The first four we've looked at, and they deal with God. They deal with our relationship with God, how we see God, how we view God, how we worship God. That's what they deal with here. In the last six, it is said that they speak to our relationship with each other, more of a vertical plane. Commandment number 6 is really what we want to look at this morning in verse 12 of Exodus 20. And it simply says, if you look there with me, honor your father and mother that the days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now Wednesday, I was thinking of how our culture has grown to detest such an idea as honoring your parents, giving any honor, any heed to those older and wiser than us. We have a youth culture today, or you could call it youth cult today, that believe that they know everything. Now, that's really, in one part, no different than any other generation. Youth always believe they know everything. Every generation did. My generation did. We were the only ones that really knew. But every generation is, as of a youth, think they know everything. But the adult generations in the past worked really hard at beating down that misconception. And today's culture is quite the opposite, isn't it? Quite the opposite. They don't beat it down, and they actually try to exalt that idea. And I was thinking about this Wednesday. And then I got up and I went to one of my grandson's kindergarten graduation, right? And there was a music teacher there. And she got up during the commencement and began to talk about the music program, which had very little to do, really, actually, with music. More about children finding themselves and expressing themselves. And I like that she even talked about this time where they have, like, no order in the class and you can just do whatever you want. You want to scream, you want to yell, you want, you know. It's like, express themselves freely. That was really important to her, and you can see that in just the way that she spoke. And then she said, we're going to sing three songs. And so they sang three songs, and I actually went on my phone, and I started making notes just because of kind of what they were about. They were all very poorly made up. They were made up to some familiar tunes, kind of what I do with my grandkids when I'm driving the car and they want to sing, and I just kind of pick a tune and make up my own words. And they usually tell me, be quiet. But that's kind of about the extent of these songs. The first was titled, All About Me. All About Me. And I wrote down, I quickly wrote down some of the lines on my phone there. One of the lines was, I'm most important. No one's greater than me. That was in that song. I mean, it lasted like, I don't know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. I mean, it was just nothing. But the second song was, I Can Do Anything. Lines in the song was, no one can tell me anything. I can do what I want. I can do and be what I want, right? I won't let anyone silence me. I can speak what I want. That was the lines. The third song was appropriately titled, Watch Out, First Grade, Here I Come. Right? Now, it's funny, but it's also tragic because, really, there was a philosophy within those songs. And even my son kind of leaned over to his wife and said, do I have to like these? You know, right? But there's a philosophy such as this that beats contrary in our culture to any idea of honor or reverence towards authority or parents or even peers, you know. It is a self-centered philosophy that does not have time or patience for others. And how different is the biblical approach to self and to authority and towards parents? The Bible tells us to honor those who are older, to honor those who are older, and to value the wisdom that comes with years. And this is why the fifth commandment speaks with such relevance. It is clear and to the point about it. Exodus 20:12, as we read, says simply, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, some quick observations about that verse first. Look at this. First, we see here in the order, he puts it first in our horizontal priorities. After he's spoken about the very important idea of how we view God, how we see God, how we worship God, how we honor God, his first thing that he puts out there, I mean, before, you know, don't murder, don't kill, you know, all these other things, don't commit adultery, he puts honor your father and mother, right? It's first there. It's first there. And so the second thing should tell us is that it must be very important, right? It must be very important. If we're going to read, if we were to go ahead and continue to read all the laws all the way up to Exodus 24, you would find that God attaches the same penalty to disobedience to parents, to not honoring them, right? That he attaches to blasphemy and idolatry and the worship of false gods. And in the case of all those things, blasphemy, idolatry, worship false gods, in the case of disobedience to parents in the law of Moses, the penalty was death. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 21 with me, in verse 18. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. This is not a son that just, you know, said, go take out the garbage, and he goes in and gets, you know, and decides to play with trucks instead or get on his phone. This is someone who's disobedient and stubborn, and this is a a way of rebellion of life here he's talking about. He doesn't listen to them. His father and mother shall what? Verse 19, mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of his hometown, and they shall say to the elder of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of this city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. So this is serious. This is a serious idea that God says here. This honor, this obedience. And the New Testament takes it serious also. In Romans 1, in the midst of a list of horrendous sins, in Romans 1, 20 through 32, right in the middle of those sins, right in those, many of them you hate to even mention, right? Right in the middle of debauchery and such, right? There is their disobedience to parents. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul's wanting to tell Timothy that there's going to be a time, right? There's going to be a day and age where everything falls apart. All of morality and all of such in the world, order in the world falls apart. And in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, look what he says. But realize this, that in those last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. And look what he says there right in the middle, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, teachers, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It absolutely drives me crazy when parents of children, and then especially parents of teenagers and high schoolers, look at their rebellious child and go, oh, that's just being a teenager. No, that's not God's plan. It's never God's plan. God puts that rebellious teenager there, right there, with the unholy. Now, why is disobedient to parents associated with such godless, anti-spiritual things? The answer is because a person who can violate this command of authority, of respect for the authority of parents, is a person who is capable of the most drastic spiritual error. And it's a person who is in grave spiritual danger in their life. And we'll see that. We'll look at that this morning. This isn't just a moralistic thing where a child who is disobedient and sort of embarrasses his or her parent. This kind of disobedient is reflective of a spiritual problem that sends someone's life in the course of destruction. In the course of destruction. And thirdly here, as we just kind of do some quick observances here, the commandment is given to children, specifically their obligation toward their parents. The term father and mother here are synonymous with parents. Okay? And so it doesn't matter if there's one parent or two parents, but it's given to children towards their parents. Fourthly, there is no indication here as to the age of the children who are to honor their parents, and we'll look at that more. But that's just simple to see. Fifthly, there's no particular action required here. And God doesn't says honor them, and this is what honor looks like. There's no particular action here, is there? Children are not told here what to do or to do anything particular to honor their parents. So we should assume something here that's very clear, and rightly so, that different actions will be required at different times. Right? Different actions at different times. Right? Of different people, of different situations, of different ages. All right? And so with that in mind, let's look at the command. Okay? It's really quite simple. Honor your parents. And the Hebrew word there, kabod, it carries the basic meaning, really, of weighty or heavy. And it's the same word that God uses, or that's used over and over again in the Old Testament, for simply the glory of God. That is, for the weightiness of God, the divine majesty of God. That's what that word's used for over and over again about God. Now, how do we respond, or how does man respond to the glory of God? Well, in the Old Testament, priests prostrated themselves before God's glory. Elijah, we find out that we see that Elijah hid his face from the sight of God's glory. Isaiah called down woes upon himself when he was faced with the holiness and glory of God. In each case, the heaviness of the moment brought about a response from these men, a response that acknowledged the unique authority of God, the position of God, didn't he, over man. Now, while the honor given to parents is not comparable to that given to the Lord, it's at least represented to us by degree here. Okay? To honor our father and mother, then, is to respect them, to esteem their value for their position, for who they are, to prize them as gifts from God. And that's what it simply means. To give them that respect that they do, the esteem that's due them, the value and the prize that's due them for who they are, and who they are being as even as a gift from God. In the New Testament, the command's repeated in Ephesians 6:2, where it says, it's just repeated, honor your father and mother. And then he says, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the Greek word there, honor, is timeo. The word means to esteem, to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect. That's what we've been saying, what it's about. To treat as precious and to revere. Now, I was wondering why my boys decided to take vacation this week. Anyway, as a youth pastor, I heard at least 4,000 reasons throughout the years why a student couldn't do this, why they couldn't honor their parents. I heard over and over again, well, they don't really love me. They hate me. They don't respect me. They don't really care about my needs. They don't listen to me. They don't understand me. My parents are hypocrites. I heard that one. My parents are unbelievers, and so on and so on. And unless there was any physical danger or extreme mental danger, my answer is always the same to them. And that is this: there's no qualifier here. There's no qualifier here. It doesn't say, hey, if your parents love you, honor them. It doesn't say, hey, if your parents respect you, honor them. Or if they understand you, honor them. If they're a believer, honor them. It doesn't say that anywhere. And we need to understand, first of all, this command in Exodus is in this context of this Jewish context of God-fearing nation. God-fearing Jewish people, families following Yahweh, right? It's in that context. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, it's in the context of the church, isn't it? It's in the context of church and New Testament people, parents, families who belong to the bride of Christ, who are the bride of Christ, right? So it's in the context of the church. And that being said, the command works best, and it looks best, right? And it brings about the most glory and the most blessing in that scenario. That's the way it's made. And we can look in Ephesians 6 and see all the commands, the ones about marriage and a husband and wife. And it works best when both are believers. It works best when both are walking with the Lord. It works best in all those things, right? But all those things aren't always possible, huh? Sometimes those things aren't there. Some here this morning may have one or both unbelieving or even abusive parents and be thinking, how can I honor them? How can I honor them? Or how can I view them as a gift from God? Well, first is this. They're a gift because without them, you wouldn't have this problem. You wouldn't be, would you? Secondly, understand that your honor towards your parents is based upon, first of all, your relationship with God. And that's why God started out with that first. You see? And thirdly, it's a reflection of the attitude of your heart. It's a reflection of your walk with God. And the attitude of a heart that has been transformed, as Scripture says, by the renewing of the Word. That's what it is. So remember, there's no command on what this looks like. And it will definitely then look differently when applied to parents who act less than honorably. In other words, it'll look differently to parents who are walking with the Lord than to parents who are not walking with the Lord, obviously, right? The Bible gives counsel for dealing with ungodly people. And it would apply to even my honor and what it might look like, right? If you have ungodly parents, even as a youth or as an older, we may not have a close relationship with them, as 2 Corinthians 6:14 says. Don't be bound together with unbelievers. What partnership of righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? We may put a lower value on their advice, as Psalm 1:1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So this honor might look differently dependent upon where that parent is spiritually, right? We may put a lower value on even the device, but we are still, as Scripture tells us, to love them, even if they hate you. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see? And unfortunately, some believers' parents fit in those categories, don't they? Now, here's the amazing part. In the literal of hundreds of youth, I have listened to complain about how hard this command is to keep, how hard this is to do. It has never, not ever been from a student who you might think really has a good solid case for this. It never been from a student who truly was in an abusive situation with their parents, right? I never saw the student who truly had deadbeat, ungodly parents really complain. It was always the one that, you know, didn't, you know, they had parents that were trying but weren't perfect. I've ministered to students when I was youth pastor who were in such situations. I could tell you of a high school boy whose father would ridicule his faith, ridicule him in front of people. On purpose, ridicule him in front of his peers and at a sporting event or something, who would walk into his family room and his son watching TV go in and throw in a tape of an explicit movie, and then the son would just quietly get up and walk out, and his dad would ridicule him. What, are you too holy to watch this? Right? I've known students who were literally work slaves in their homes. I knew a high school student whose parents moved out while he was at school. He didn't know they were moving. He got home and it was empty. And he had to find a place to live so he could finish his senior year. Right? And he never talked about them as to dishonor. In every instance, these students prayed for the salvation of their parents. And every instance, they prayed for the transformation of their lives. And every instance, they made a desperately hard issue of trying to make sure that they showed honor towards them anyway. So there is the perfect, right? But we know there are no perfect parents, nor perfect children, but also there's the very imperfect, isn't there? And there's the imperfect situations. And honor may look different in each of those situations, but it will be evident in those such situations. And that's what God is calling us to. Now, we notice that this command has no age requirement as we go on here, right? And in Matthew 15, Jesus, he applies this idea of honor your parents, even as they're old. And so there's no age requirement, not only to the children, but also for the parents. So Matthew 15, there's this general principle, not only of the Old Testament, but of Jesus' application. So let's look at this in Matthew 15. The Pharisees here in Matthew 15 have come to Jesus and his disciples, and they asked him this. They said, why do your disciples not follow to the traditions of the fathers, the traditions of the rabbis? And Jesus' response is, why do you disobey the law of God? Okay? Why do you and your disciples not obey the law of God? And he gives them an example of this. by the way that they treat their parents. And look at Matthew 15 with me, starting in verse 1. Then some of the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." I love to use this one on my mom. Why do you have to wash your hands before you eat? Jesus didn't. But look at Jesus' answer here. That's not the point. He says, and he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourself transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" In other words, why have you put your traditions above God's law? Right? Why do you put your tradition above what God has said? And then he gives an example of this by the way they treat their aging parents. Look at verse 4. "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother,' and by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me.'" You see, the Jews, people had this thing called Corban, and the religious leaders did not honor their parents by helping them when they grew old. And we can see this in Mark 7, where it's repeated. We'll look at that here in a second. But they devised a religious plan to avoid supporting or helping their parents where they needed it by saying their money is Corban. It's dedicated to God. Okay? It's dedicated to God. Right? Corban was a gift specially dedicated to God. And so this vow, this Corban vow, was superseded in their mind this law of God, right? And the need to help their parents where they needed help. So the purpose of making the dedication, and here was the great clause, even though they dedicated that money to God, they could choose when it went to God. You know, could be at their deathbed, right? Look at Mark 7 with me. This is where it explains a little more. In Mark 7, verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban,' that is to say, given to God, 'you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that.'" You see, there's going to come a day when your parents get unable to do what they used to be able to do. That is when that honor really comes to fulfillment and comes to the surface later in life. You not only honor them when you're young and in their house here, but Jesus is saying, and he's saying it here as it being a law of God, that you're to not only honor them then, but you're to the best of your abilities, you're to care and help for them when they're old. And I've seen this happen in the body of Christ. And it's not always easy. But it happens. And this will look different in every situation, right? Some parents will need more than others. Some will need less. And some, the situation might even depend where you live. In a culture like ours, where there's a thing called retirement and stuff, it might look different. In other, many other cultures around the world, there is no such thing. Now, what can you look forward to? What is the benefit then of doing this? All right? If you're willing to do this, he says, look at this. "Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives." And then in Ephesians 6, it says this. It says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment of promise. In verse 3, "so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And I think those are really saying the same thing. You see, Moses and God are telling you there that you should obey your father and mother. And why? You should honor, respect, or serve your mother and father. And God isn't saying here is so that you will get this blessing, okay? But he's pointing out an inseparable connection between this honor, this obedience, this way that God has decided this relationship should be. And that's true in all the relationship that God points out. We can go through the Word of God and we can see every relationship that you could think of in the Bible, in your life, spoken of in the Bible. And when they are followed in biblical fashion, okay, there is a blessing. There is a blessed outcome that comes. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying there's a blessed outcome in this. There's a blessing in this when you follow this order that God has placed. Children honoring their parents. You see? Now what's guaranteed here is that you're not going to live to be 110. This is not what it's talking about here. Rather, it's a general promise that affects the society you live in, the church that you belong to, but especially the immediate family in the context of that. The Israelites are just out of Egypt, and God promises them this, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord God gives you. And that speaks volumes to them. They didn't have their own land. They've been slaves for 300 years, right? And so they don't have except what the Lord gives them. And how long they would remain in that land would be affected by the obedient honor in their homes. You see, the way of blessing then is the way of obedience, he's saying. And that's what Israel needed to understand as they prepared for the new land. And it's still true for us. The fact of the matter is the promise that is given in the fifth commandment in Exodus 20:12 is repeated several times in the Old Testament over and over again. And you can find that same promise, right? But it's connected to, it's relation to the obedience of God's law, of all God's law. And so he repeats over and over again, if you do this, you will live long in the land. If you follow my law on this, you will be long in the land. And he connects that, you see? And the principle is simple. It's this, that when we are faithful to what God has commanded us to do, he's faithful to bless us. He's faithful to bless us. And in this passage, he's telling us that the promise is always with regard to God's law, to God's truth. So when the one who walks in that obedience will walk in the way of blessing. But there's another connection I want you to see. Look at Deuteronomy 30 with me in verse 15. He says, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Keep all of that. To walk in God's ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And look what he attaches to that, that you may live and multiply and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. The same blessing that he gives for honoring your parents. Now, why is obedience to the fifth commandment linked with the blessings attached to keeping all the commandments, to walking with God, right? I mean, in one sense, you know, you must keep every commandment to keep them all, and that's one of the commandments, right? But the fifth commandment plays a special role with respect to the rest of the commandments, I believe. The laws of God are to be conveyed to each generation, aren't they? Primarily from who? From the parents. We know that from Deuteronomy 6. Teach them when you rise, when you walk, when they go to bed, when you work. Teach them. Teach them, right? The laws of God are to be conveyed and to be passed on from generation primarily from the parents. And that's true in the New Testament church, isn't it? Also. And that's what we believe here. And so even in our children's ministries and our youth ministries and stuff, we serve to be an extension of not an extension of the family actually, but to be a help of the parent. We hope to be someone who is reinforcing what the family is doing. That's what we want to be. See? And so the honor of the parents is then a prerequisite to the teaching of the law from one generation to the next generation. If a children honor their parents, then what? Then they'll heed their instructions, won't they? If the children honor their parents, they'll heed their instructions. If they heed their instructions, they'll keep the law of God. And if they keep the law of God, they will be blessed by God. And so honoring your parents is fundamental from passing on Christianity from one generation to the next generation. When I was a new Christian, not long after I became a Christian, God led me to a wonderful Bible church where I was discipled by an amazing pastor, but also grew under the guidance of many other godly men. And one such man was a music pastor. And you might be thinking, what can you learn from a music pastor? But but actually, it was his life and his family's legacy that really impacted me. Really impacted me. While I was talking one day with him, right? He told me that he was fifth generation Christian. Fifth generation. And he was talking to me about his great-grandfather and great-grandfathers and Bibles he had passed down and such. And I went away and I thought to myself, I'm the first, but I want that. Right? I want my children's children's children to say, hey, my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-grandmother, I want them to say that. Right? That they were a Christian like me. Right? And so honoring your parents really is a fundamental principle that allows this to continue to happen. To pass down. To pass down this faith that we have. And we see that here. Now as we conclude, let me suggest some things here. Some governing principles which I believe are relevant to honoring of parents. These principles will give guidance in some agonizing choices which we as children have to make regarding the form of which of our what is honoring our parents is to take. Number one is this: if a children must give honor to their parents, then parenting must be an honorable occupation. Now you would wonder why someone would have to say this, right? It just seems like an obvious statement, but in today's world it's necessary, I think, to do so. The fact that women line up at abortion clinics today around the country, in various parts of this country and the world, suggests that the bearing and raising children is viewed as something far less than honorable, far less than a blessing. Secondly, this though, honoring parents take different forms, and I've said this a couple times. It takes different forms for different people in different circumstances. You see, since the fifth commandment is very general, we should expect that the application of this commandment is not the same for everybody. The Old and New Testament provides us with many positive and negative applications of the command to honor our parents, right? Scripture teaches us that. It will look very different, determined by what our parents look like, right? What's going on in their life and such. So it looks different. I want us to understand that. The way in which one relates to parents, number three, changes with life. Okay? It changes with life. It's not the same as when you're young and when you're old. Okay? It changes with conversion. It changes with marriage. You're to now leave them and cleave. It changes with life. Understand that. It changes with life. There are some believers, well-meaning, but think that it stays the same all through life. It doesn't. It changes as we grow in Christ also, doesn't it? As we understand it in greater detail. Fortunately, we honor our parents most when we obey and honor God in our lives. And we honor God when we honor our parents. Christian scholars generally divide the commandments into two groups, like I did at the beginning, right? The first four dealing with God and the last six with other people. But the Jewish scholars, they divided the commandments up evenly, five and five. And so that puts honor your father and mother in the same category as the commandments telling us to honor God. And I think the Jewish scholars got it right. I really do. Malachi 1:6 says this. Listen to this. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, God says, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. And God is saying, look, honoring your parents is the same as honoring me. And so I think the Jews got it right, scholars, when they said it goes under that same category. And so those who would honor God, the passage is clear, must also honor their parents. Those who honor parents have already really begun to honor God. And this is a sermon that has to be preached. This is a truth that has to be taught. This is not something we're going to walk away and have this great warm feeling that I'm walking closer to God type deal. You know, I like those better too. I get more praise for those. No. This is the reality. This is the truth of life that God has set before us. And God in His wisdom has arranged how we react towards each other in the body of Christ. And God in His wisdom has arranged how the family looks and reacts towards each other and serves each other and looks at authority. And He's done so with husbands and wife, and He's done so with children and parents. And not only to honor God, which is the first reason, but because, what's that TV show? Father Knows Best. God knows best. God knows best. This is how it works out best. So let's follow God's law. That's all I want to say. Let's pray. Lord God, we look at Your word this morning, and I know many brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the midst of doing this with their parents in an older stage of life, and I pray that You give them, continue to give them the strength and the wisdom to do so. I pray, God, that all of us find that wisdom, that strength to give the honor due our parents. Lord, I pray for those who see this and hurt inside because of relationships with parents that aren't full, that aren't what they would hope they be. I pray, God, that in those cases, the church, as a family of God, as the body of Christ, steps up and fills those voids as we're called to do, and helps in those situations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.